Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today we're tackling a topic that, well, for decades have been locked behind this huge wall of technical expertise. We are talking about video game development.
We are. And you handed us some really fascinating excerpts from a document called The 2026 Game Developers Blueprint, Creating with AI.
Right. And the title alone is a hook. But the core idea, the thesis, is what really got me.
It's big. The blueprint basically suggests that 2026 is what they call a golden age for creators. It's not just another step forward. It's a total redefinition of who can make a game.
It sounds like hyperbole, but I have to agree. After reading this, the shift they're describing feels, well, it feels tectonic. So let's lay out our mission for this deep dive.
Okay.
We want to understand exactly how these AI tools have changed the entire development pipeline from that first little spark of an idea all the way to, you know, getting it up on Steam.
And more importantly, what you need to know to actually use this stuff, to take advantage of this huge shift right now.
Exactly. So where do we start? The sources talk about a phase zero.
We have to start there. It's what they call the big shift. And it's a mental shift, really, a conceptual hurdle you have to get over right away.
Which is?
It's this idea of moving from being a specialist to being a manager.
Okay, unpack that analogy for us, because for the last, what, 30 years, game dev has been all about specializing.
100%. I mean, historically, if you wanted to build a game, you had to be the miner with the pickaxe.
Yeah.
You were the C++ programmer or the 3D modeler or the audio guy. You were divvying for the raw materials yourself.
And now?
Now you're the mine manager. You're directing the robots. The AI tools, they're the robotic pickaxes. They do all the hard, repetitive, complex, manual labor.
So what's left to the human? What's my job as the manager?
The blueprint says it boils down to two absolutely critical skills, prompt engineering and, this is a big one, curatorial taste.
Okay, prompt engineering makes sense. That's just knowing how to talk to the robots, how to ask for what you want. But tell me about curatorial taste. Why is that so important?
Because the AI can give you infinite options. I mean, literally. It can spit out 100 enemy concepts, 50 different color palettes, 20 sound effects, but only a human, only you, the creator, can look at all those options and know which one is actually fun.
Which one fits the vision.
Which one serves the emotional intent of the game. That's the key. The message here is, if you can imagine it, you can now build it. Even if you can't code, even if you can't draw a stick figure, your imagination is the only bottleneck left.
That's a huge claim.
Yeah.
Let's see how it holds up. Let's apply this manager idea to phase one, ideation and lore.
Mm-hmm.
The AI co-founder, as they call it.
Right. The dreaded game design document, the GDD.
Ugh, yes. A lot of great ideas have died right there.
They absolutely have. A GDD could be, what, hundreds of pages long?
Yeah.
Detailing every single mechanic before you've even written a line of code. It was a blocker.
Total project, a killer.
Exactly. But now you have these advanced LLMs, you know, your ChatGPT 6 or Claude 4. You don't stare at a blank page anymore. You treat the AI like a brainstorming partner. A co-founder who never gets tired.
And this is where that prompt engineering skill comes in straight away. You have to be specific. Give that practical example from the sources.
Okay, so say you're building a survival horror game on a space station. You don't just ask for scary enemies. You feed it constraints. The prompt might be something like, I need 5 creative enemies based on cosmic horror and fungal infections and suggest a unique core gameplay mechanic that involves oxygen management.
And the AI doesn't just give you a list. It connects the dots.
It connects everything. It suggests enemies that were former crew members, but their suits are now filled with these hallucinogenic spores. And if you shoot them, the spores spread.
Oh, that's good.
Right. So the core mechanic it spits out is this tragic choice. Do you share your own limited oxygen to temporarily cure them, or do you save your O2 to survive? That entire game loop, that's generated in seconds.
Wow. I mean, that used to be a week in a writer's room with a whiteboard.
At least. And it's not just mechanics, it's narrative too. The sources say this is pretty much the death of static, pre-written dialogue.
So no more, I used to be an adventurer like you.
Hopefully not, no. With tools like in-world AI, you stop writing thousands of lines of dialogue. Instead, you define an NPC's core traits, their personality, their backstory, their motivation in that moment.
So you're scripting personalities, not conversations.
That's the management shift. And then the characters react to you in real time, based on what you just did in the game. If you steal from a guard, he's going to remember that 5 minutes later when you try to ask him for a favor. It's dynamic.
Okay, that covers phase one. We have our idea, our mechanics, our dynamic world. Let's move to the part that used to be the biggest time sink. Phase two, the art and the visuals.
This all starts with what they call your visual North Star. Before you even think about 3D, you nail the atmosphere. You go to a tool like Midjourney V7.
And you get really descriptive with the prompt.
Super descriptive. Something like, isometric view of a cyberpunk slum, neon purple lighting, rain-slick streets, dense detail, Dark Souls atmosphere. Get this perfect piece of concept art.
And that image becomes the template, the visual guide for everything else the AI creates to keep it all consistent.
It's the visual Bible for the project. And from there, you jump straight into the text-to-3D tools, things like Meshy, Luma AI, Roden. These are the real game changers.
So you feed them that concept art or just a text prompt, and you get a 3D model back in minutes.
You get a raw textured mesh, yeah.
But I have to push back on that a little. I mean, if these tools are doing 90% of the work, doesn't that make the last 10%, the human touch-up, even more important and just as specialized?
That's a great question, and the blueprint actually addresses that. It says you have to differentiate. For your main character or a huge boss monster, yeah, you'll probably still want a human artist to do that final polish to get it perfect.
But for everything else?
For all the environmental assets, the chairs, the trees, the rubble, the cars, for all that stuff, the AI's 90% is more than good enough.
So you can fill an entire visually rich level with unique assets in an afternoon.
That's the time saver. What used to take a whole team of artists months of work is now a single person managing a workflow for a day. The roadblock of just filling the world is gone.
That's incredible. Okay, let's hit phase 3. This is the big one. The barrier that stopped most people, myself included, coding.
Right. The old, I'm not a math person excuse.
Exactly. But the source paints a very different picture for 2026.
It does. The big takeaway is that in 2026, English is the hottest new programming language. You don't need to be a programmer anymore. You just need to be a really good communicator.
How does that work in practice when I'm inside, say, the Unity engine?
So you're using an AI coding assistant, like an advanced GitHub copilot that's just built right in. You don't type the C# code yourself. You just write a comment in plain English describing what you want to happen.
Give us the example from the blueprint, because this is where it gets really practical.
Okay. The developer literally just types a comment that says, write a script that makes the player double jump when the space bar is pressed twice and plays a specific sound effect on the second jump.
And that's it.
That's it. The AI analyzes the context, sees your other scripts, and just generates the complete functional code right below your comment. You just review it.
That's a massive change.
Yeah.
What about visual scripting? Like the blueprints in Unreal Engine, that spaghetti of nodes and wires.
The AI does the wiring for you. You just explain what you want. When the player steps on this pressure plate, open that specific door for 5 seconds, then play a hiss sound, and the AI just connects all the necessary nodes for you.
So the logic barrier is gone. Okay, but a game isn't just logic and visuals. Let's talk about phase 4, soundscapes. The sources say sound is, what, 50% of the experience?
At least. And it used to be so expensive and complicated. Now, with tools like Suno or AIVA for music, it's all democratized.
And the key feature isn't just that it generates music. It's that it generates consistent music, right?
That's the insight. It maintains thematic coherence. So your calm exploration track and your intense combat track can share the same musical motif. They feel like they belong in the same world. The transition is seamless.
And then there's voice acting. Another huge budget item. Gone.
Yeah. The blueprint points to 11 labs. The tech has gotten so good, they say it's basically indistinguishable from a human actor. Mm. You can generate thousands of lines with different accents, different emotions, whispering, shouting, crying. It saves a fortune in studio time.
So we have all the pieces, the ideas, the art, the code, the sound. Phase 5 is putting it all together, assembly. The blueprint is pretty opinionated about which engine to use.
Very opinionated. They unequivocally recommend Unreal Engine 5.6 for 2026.
Part of that is the financial model, right? Free until you make $1 million.
That's a big part of it, yeah. But the real draw is the technical features that just remove these old, painful barriers.
And there are two big ones they mentioned. Let's break those down.
First is Nanite. That's the system for geometry for 3D models. Traditionally, you had to kill yourself optimizing every model, lowering the polygon count so the game would run. With Nanite, you just don't. You can drop in millions of polygons, these super high detail AI assets, and the engine handles all the optimization automatically. It's a miracle worker.
And the second one solves the problem that used to make developers wait overnight, lighting.
That's Lumen. It's for dynamic global illumination. It solves light baking. Previously, if you moved a lamp in your scene, You'd have to hit a button and wait hours, sometimes overnight, for the computer to recalculate all the light bounces.
It would just stop your entire workflow. You couldn't iterate.
Exactly. Lumen makes it all real time. You move a light, and the shadows and bounces update instantly. It makes the artistic process so much faster.
Okay, so before we get to publishing, there's a quick list of essential tools in the blueprint, a kind of 2026 starter kit.
Yeah, a few key apps. You need something like Scenario to generate your smaller assets and textures while keeping them all in the same art style, that North Star we talked about.
What about placing all those assets? That sounds like a lot of manual work.
That's where Promethean AI comes in. It's an environment design assistant. You literally give it a prompt like, build a messy 1990s teenager's bedroom, and it just fills the space with posters, dirty clothes, CDs, all positioned correctly.
It handles the tedious stuff.
So you can focus on the actual level design. And then, for making sure the game isn't broken, you need model.ai for QA.
Quality assurance. The bug hunt.
Right. Instead of hiring a team of people to run into walls for a month, you have AI bots that play your game thousands of times at once, finding all the critical bugs instantly.
That's huge. Okay, final step. Phase 6, marketing and publishing. You've made your amazing game, but now you have to sell it on a platform like Steam, where there are, what, 50 new games a day?
At least. And the AI helps here, too. For trailers, tools like Premiere Pro AI or Sora can take your raw gameplay footage and automatically cut a high-energy trailer, perfectly synced to the music.
So you don't need to hire an expensive trailer editor.
Nope. For your social media, you have ChatGPT generate a whole 3-month content calendar. It writes the posts, suggests the images, and maybe most importantly, it handles your Steam Store SEO.
How does that work?
You feed it your game description and just ask it to optimize the text for keywords like psychological horror or co-op survival. It makes sure people who are looking for a game like yours can actually find it.
Okay, let's synthesize all of this. We've gone from a spark of an idea all the way to a sale. What's the big final takeaway for you, the person listening to this?
I think the synthesis is really simple and it's powerful. The tools are here. The knowledge is free on YouTube. The cost barrier is gone. The blueprint is very clear that the only real barrier left is a psychological one.
It's the fear of starting.
It's the fear of starting. Yeah. And the advice is you don't need to build GTA Vi for your first project.
No.
Make a simple 5-minute platformer. Make a short horror game. Use these tools to make something small in a single weekend. Just to prove to yourself that you can. It'll be yours and it'll be finished.
Which leads us to that final, really provocative thought that the source material leaves us with. It ties everything together.
It does. It basically says that 2026 is the year of the creator. All the technical excuses are gone. They're just off the table.
Right.
And so the final question it asks you is this. Will you be a spectator this year or will you be a player?
A powerful question. It really makes you think about that dream game idea you've had in the back of your mind.
Exactly. The time to start building it is, well, it's right now.